Good evening. Again, we give you a hearty welcome. We want to continue to look with you at the road to. This morning we open up the subject, the road to deliverance, which is the road of salvation. We'll continue to look at the road to deliverance. Come with me, please, to the Word of God, to the book of Exodus. Chapter 15, and reading verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. A second scripture in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21:1. And we shall read verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land, out of Egypt, to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched and Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched, and so on. This is indeed a wonderful section of the Word of God, the road to salvation, the road to deliverance. Here the nation of Israel, 400 years in bondage, cruel taskmasters, children slaughtered. But as Joseph said, God would visit them, and God is always true to his word. He will always fulfill his word. And finally the day came when God said to Moses, Take a lamb, keep it up from the 10th day of the month to the 14th day of the month, and in the evening kill a lamb. Apply the blood to the doorpost unto the lintel. And God said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This was the road to deliverance. And that night about 2 million Israelites left the land of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. It was the road of deliverance. And when they reached the other side, we read, they sang. You cannot sing in Egypt. You can't sing in the world. But you can sing on the way of salvation. And they sang. The Lord is my strength, my song, and become my salvation. Strength for the body, a song for the spirit, and salvation for the soul is what God promises on the road to deliverance. Three times in the scriptures, you've got exact quotation. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Here in Exodus chapter 15, when they were liberated, emancipated from Egyptian bondage. The second reference, exactly the same, is found in the 118th Psalm. When they were taken captive into Babylonia, and finally God liberated his people, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they sang, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation." And the third occasion is yet future. It's found in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verse 2. In that day, it's a projection of the ultimate liberation of the remnant. I repeat, the remnant of Israel. According to Zechariah, all nations will gather around Jerusalem. That would include the U.S. All nations will gather around Jerusalem with the intent of annihilating the Jewish people. When they crucified the Lord Jesus, they said, "His blood be upon us and our children," and God took them at their word. No nation has ever suffered like the nation of Israel. Well, they talk about peace, but there will be no peace till he comes whose right it is to reign, the Lord Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And in that hour of extremity, the remnant cannot look to the United Nations, but they look up, and out comes the Savior. "What are these wounds in thy hand?" He will say, "These wounds I receive in the house of my friends." And the remnant will wail, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripe we are healed." And the remnant will sing in that day, "The Lord is my strength, my song, and he's become my salvation." And the wonderful Savior will approach the gates of Jerusalem, and they'll sing, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to go the road of salvation, and to have a personal link with a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Salvation, says Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. And there's no other channel for salvation but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation. It was preeminently thought by God. And it was purposely taught in the incarnation. And sad to say, it is persistently fought by Satan, the god of this age. Preeminently thought by God. Only God could ever come up with a plan to save rebels like you and me. To call the wisdom at the disposal of the triune God to come up with the right plan. The wise woman of the course is God has devised a means whereby his banished ones might not be expelled from him. And before the creation of the universe, God had a plan to meet your need and my need. And now there was a problem. Who could make this plan effectual? I'm sure Gabriel, God's minister of internal affairs, would have loved to have come. Michael is minister of external affairs. But they did not have the ability. But there was one standing by. He says, here am I. Send me. That was the Lord Jesus. And he volunteered. Each member of the Godhead has taken upon themselves certain prerogatives. It seems that the outstanding prerogative of the Father is one of selectivity. And the prerogative of the Son, subjectivity. And the prerogative of the Holy Spirit is objectivity. Selectivity. Whom shall I send? The Lord Jesus, send me. It was a dual exercise. God sending his own Son. God sent him. In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. Salvation is of the Lord. And in Acts chapter 28, they were amazed that the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles. We should thank God that it has reached Gentile nations in and through the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. And it was purposely taught in Christ's incarnation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. He's the only one that has the capacity and the ability to forgive us of our sins. An old lady up in Toronto in a hospital. And one day a cleric came into a room. He got the wrong number and he went in to visit this lady. She says, what is your business, sir? Oh, he says, I've come to give you absolution. She says, what in the world is absolution? He said, I've come to forgive you of your sins. She said, sir, let me see your hands. She says, sir, you are an imposter. The man that forgave my sins has the print of the nails in his hands. Jesus alone can save. And throughout his ministry, again the Lord Jesus, the great subject was that of salvation. Preeminently thought by God and purposely taught in Christ's incarnation. And remember the apostle said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God he came to save you and me. Have we responded? That is the issue. And it is persistently fought by Satan. He hates the work and the proclamation of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, as the good sower, went forth to sow seed. And the enemy comes along and he snatches away the seed. He hates to see the seed of the gospel being sown in fertile territory. Again, as I quoted this morning, the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Salvation is of the Lord. This evening, let's think for a few moments as to the why of salvation, the work of salvation, and the way of salvation, and finally, the wonder of salvation. Alongside the why of salvation, we can inject the word ruin R-U-I-N, ruin. We sometimes say he saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us, notwithstanding all. He can save you from your lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. Ruined. We discover in the scriptures that Satan is in control of the mind. Paul wrote to the Ephesians about the God of this age, and he warned the Ephesians of the power that was at his disposal. He walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I tell you, friend, we have a strong foe. And he knows his end is near. And he's working overtime. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, there was a disinterest in the message. There was a disrespect for the messenger. And a diabolical display of evil. Are we not living in these days? A disinterest in the message. I've known several assemblies that have had gospel activity this year, and no stranger come in. The God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. In the days of Noah, there was a disinterest in the message. He preached over 100 years. About judgment to come. And nobody paid any interest in the message. All that was saved was his family. God instructed him to build a boat. A rowboat would have been big enough. But God built a boat that was capable of saving all in the then known world. God is a merciful God, a God of preparation. Thank God he saw his family saved. And it's a wonderful thing to have those members of our families gloriously saved and going with us to glory. And a disrespect for the messenger. Look at that foolish old man building a boat on dry land. They didn't realize that judgment was near. And a diabolical display of evil. Are we not living in similar days? The whole world lieth in the lap of the evil one. My friend, I tell you, time is running out. In the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, wickedness was rampant everywhere. And finally God's patience ran out. He said, this is enough. Said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. In the days of Lot, Lot and his two girls were the only three rescued from the flaming fire that descended upon the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are living in the end days. Prepare to meet thy God. The why of salvation? Because Satan is in control. Man is ruined. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Ruined in the fall. Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He injected that into the human race. And the first child ever born was a liar and a murderer. Where is Abel thy brother? I don't know. Liar. In the first fratricide, he killed his brother. And men have been lying and killing ever since. Ruined. Men in their sins are in darkness. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. Darkness. And God says they're dead. If you're not saved, my friend, tonight, God says, not me, God says you're dead. Dead in trespasses and in sin. You remember in Luke 15, there was the lost sheep, and the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep was naturally lost. Hadn't got the capability of getting back to home base. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Lost naturally. The coin was lost helplessly. Couldn't find its way back into the pocketbook. But the son was lost woefully. He was determined, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he went out into the far country. Lived righteously. Lost. But there is one who is willing to bring you tonight into a happy, joyful environment. And it's the way, the road to salvation, in and through the work of the Lord Jesus. Now that's the why of salvation, because we are ruined. But oh, we thank God for the work of salvation. And alongside that, we can put the word ransom. The why, ruined. The work, ransom. Job 33, Job longed for a mediator that could save him from going down into the pit. And he says, I have found a ransom. That person was the Lord Jesus. I have found a ransom. He was the mediator. He is the avenue on the road to deliverance, salvation. And once again, that work was planned by God. We should thank God tonight that his plan was effectual because of the redemptive work of his beloved son. We find in Peter's epistle that the Lord Jesus was verily foreordained as a lamb, verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. God had in mind one that would be called the Lamb. Genesis chapter 4, it was a lamb for a lad. Abel brought his little lamb and he offered it to God with the fat thereof. A lamb for a lad. In Genesis 22, it was a lamb for a family. Take thou thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice upon one of the mountains. No doubt, Abram's legs must have felt like lead, his heart breaking, as God called upon him to sacrifice his boy on Mount Moriah. He's about to plunge a knife into his boy. And God says, Abram, Abraham. And turning round, he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. Had that lamb been caught by any other part of its body than the horns, it would have been blemished. And it could never be a picture of the Lord Jesus. He was held by the horns of his love. T'was love that led him to Gethsemane, or Judas ne'er could find him. T'was love that nailed him to the tree, or iron ne'er could bind him. T'was love that lived. T'was love that died. with endless life to bless us, well hast thou won thy blood-bought bride. Worthy art thou, Lord Jesus. Here in Exodus, it was a lamb for the nation, a lad, a family, a nation. But oh, my friend, God had a lamb for the universe. And that would embrace you and me. John the Baptist, the forerunner of that. Tremendous messenger. The preparatory messenger. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I have found a ransom. Have you found that ransom? Have you yielded to the claims of the Lord Jesus? Yes, it was planned by God. But also provided by His precious blood. Neither is there salvation in any other. Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such that I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, planned by God. And it was provided in and through the precious blood. And it was procured by His resurrection. The death of the Lord Jesus is awesome, but that alone could not save us. There had to be the resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. What a work. The work of salvation. Here again, continuing to look at this great subject, as we have recorded here in the scriptures, the way of salvation. The why? Because we're ruined. The work, we've got a ransom. But here is the way. And alongside that phrase, we must inject the word repentance. Repentance. Ruin, ransom, repentance. I read a very interesting little booklet by our beloved brother, Bill MacDonald. And he said, you know, the common phraseology by some evangelists today is, do you believe that Jesus died? Oh, yes. Do you believe He died for you? Oh, yes. Well, you're saved. It doesn't work that way. The Lord demands repentance. Repentance. The Lord Jesus was the greatest preacher that ever lived. And His keynote in all His messages regarding salvation was to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was the theme of the ministry of John the Baptist. Repent. Repent. We must confess our sin to the Lord. And that is the ground, the basis of our salvation. The Lord preached it. John the Baptist preached it. And the Apostle Paul, that giant intellect, he preached it. There he is on Mars Hill, in that city that was moved by the declamations of such men as Aristotle, Epicurus, Socrates, Plato. He could have matched his intelligence with any man alive. And he was right in the midst of that environment of intellect. And he stood up there. What a man. He preached Jesus and the resurrection. He went on to give that great panoramic view of the nation's history. And then he says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I have sinned. That is the language that cheers the heart of our great God. I have sinned. Repentance. The why? Ruin. The work? Ransom. The way? Repentance. Finally, the wonder of salvation. And alongside this, we can bring the word relation. It's a priceless relationship. The wonder of salvation. I never cease to marvel as I travel around preaching the gospel to see the wonder of salvation in the lives of those who say, I have sinned. My colleague and I were having meetings in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. And it was in the days of the hippies. And a large group came in with all the hippie paraphernalia. We just wondered what they might be up to. But God was in control. They occupied several seats in the front row. And they listened to the message. One young lad came up to me at the end. He said, sir, do you mean to say that God can do all these things for me? I said, yes, if you're willing to come God's way. Well, he said, I'm desperate. He went to college. He had to leave. He said, I've tried religion. He says, that's a mess. And I've tried hard drugs. Is it possible? I said, yes, if you are prepared to come God's way. Well, I said, let's get on with it. Step by step, we worked on that young man and finally dropped on his knees. I was beside him. My colleague was working with his fiance. And that young lad cried that night. I'll never forget it. Lord, I am a sinner. Please come into my heart and make me clean. Make me clean. There was great rejoicing that night in Moncton, New Brunswick. Several of these hippies came to Christ. 6 weeks later, I got a letter from him telling how he was witnessing to his friends. And he signed his letter, a son of God, Fernie Lejeune. I've had thousands and thousands of letters in my lifetime. But never before or since, ever since, a son of God. Invariably yours in Christ. Yours in our sovereign Lord and so on. A son of God. It was only the way of salvation that took him from hippie land and make him the child of a king, to become a holy and a royal priest in the family of God. He went back to college, got his degree, married his fiance, have a family, and he has a large position as an executive with a company in Fredericton, New Brunswick. I was in a restaurant just last year, and this young man came bounding, almost knocked over a waitress. It was Fernie. Hadn't seen him in 20 years. He almost choked me to death. The wonder of salvation. Down in the Bahamas in Spanish Wells, a godly gentleman, Aziel Pinder, was dying with cancer. Tremendous tenor, beautiful singer, and was highly respected by everyone on the island, dying with cancer. Two young men who were drug addicts came to visit him just prior to his death. He says to his wife, he says, Eunice, honey, bring me a glass of water. With his shaky hands, he lifted the glass of water. He says, boys, not one drop of this in hell. That's all he said. I came in next day at the Bible hour, spoke of the Lord's words. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. He demands that you and I get converted. I hadn't left the podium. These two young men, drug addicts, were right up there. And with the joy of pointing them to the Savior. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Yes, as we look this morning, this salvation is universal. It's available to all and to you tonight. And we know that it is a positive salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the scripture tells us that it's a common salvation. That is, it's available to all. But thank God, beloved, it's also an eternal salvation. Dr. Luke says, through the bowels of mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high did visit us to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace. So this blessed relation and relationship, the past, we're saved from guilt and the penalty of sin. Today, we are saved from the power of sin. Oh yes, God's people still sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we are saved from the power through the mediator, the Lord Jesus, that great, that merciful, that faithful, that sympathetic, that perfect, unseen, and unchangeable priest. Saved from the past guilt and penalty of sin. Saved from the power of sin. And in the future, thank God, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. What a day that will be. When we stand by our Savior's side, see that old enemy cast down, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet cast into the bottomless pit. What a triumph that will be for us because of the path, the road to salvation. Thank God, my friend, the moment we are saved, we can never be lost. Such is the power of our dear Savior. I feel saddened by these people who believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. That would drive me crazy. At what point are you saved, and at what point in life are you lost? If you come to Christ tonight, God's word says that you will never perish. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. If it was possible to lose one salvation, then we'd have to be taken out of the love of God. And the scripture says nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And if it was possible to lose one salvation, the Holy Spirit would have to leave the territory he took over the moment we got saved. I will send unto you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or know, but ye know him, and he will abide with you forever. What a Savior. And if it was possible to lose one salvation, we'd have to be taken out of the hand of God, and that's an impossibility. And if it was possible to lose one salvation, our names would have to be eradicated from the Lamb's Book of Life. An absolute impossibility. The moment we trust the Lord Jesus, then our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The way of salvation. Now we notice the remedy of Israel when they sinned against God. Our souls loatheth us right like bread. And God sent fiery serpents into their midst. But there was a way. The Lord said to Moses, put a serpent of brass upon the pole, and whoever looks, that person will be healed. It was a simple procedure. But he first of all said, I have sinned. And that is the key to salvation. It was simple. Look and live. And it was effective. The moment they looked, the bite by the fiery serpent was eliminated. It was immediate. They didn't have to wait. And friend, God's salvation is immediate for you right now. Now is the accepted time, 25 after the hour. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, you can be gloriously saved. And it was personal. Only those who looked personally, not in groups, personally, they were healed. And again, the way of deliverance, it was typical. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord had to die that you might live. I wonder, have we ever taken time out to thank the Lord for dying upon the cross? If not, shame on us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. So my friend, as I close, the road to deliverance, you must come the way of salvation to the only sinner, Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need any help, there are those here with the capacity, the ability to help you. And I can help you. But time is running out. And whatever you do, don't leave the building exposed to the wrath of God. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee once again for giving us the privilege of looking into thy precious word regarding the gospel of God. We thank thee for such a message. And we pray, O Father, we as God's people will rejoice in what was done, what is being yet done and will be done. But above all, we do pray for the salvation of precious souls, young and old, that they might come and find the ransom in the Lord Jesus. We ask these things, giving thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we close in singing number 244. 244. Again, it's about salvation.